This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
كيف تجري الأب هذا قال جاكيم هذا؟
موجود في بلاي ستور. لكن أنا أفتح من الموقع.
تعال الموقع. Talking about the hadith of Yahya ibn Zakariya, and I believe we reach a place where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after he finished mentioning that those five things that Yahya informed his people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked me to command you to do them. What are these things? Tawheed, Salah, Siyam, and Dhikr. And what else we miss? Sadaqah, charity. Now, five things. And after he mentioned all of these, then he said, قَالَ وَأَنَا أَمُرُكُمْ قَالَ رَسُولَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَأَنَا أَمُرُكُمْ بِخَمْسٍ Allahu amarani bihinna. He said, I'm also commanding you to do five things, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded me to do them. And ma thabata li rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thabata li ummatihi. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to tell the people to do those five things. Qala amurukum bi al-jama'ah. So those things that he mentioned, this is the Sharia of those who came before us, and it is also our Sharia, right? Because each and every one of them is found is in our Sharia as well. That's why the Prophet ﷺ did not repeat them again, because we already got them from the previously mentioned statement by him through Yahya ibn Zakariya. He says, and I command you with five things. Number one, al-jama'ah. What is jama'ah? Unity. Because this is the strength of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Without unity, there is no way for us to succeed. Without unity, there is no way for us to succeed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ وَاصْبِرُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, obey Allah and obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا. And do not engage in a tanazu', conflict amongst you. If you do that, فَتَفْشَلُوا, you will fail in your mission, in whatever you're doing. وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ, and your strength will be taken away from you. وَاصْبِرُوا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, be patient. Yeah, so unity is essential. Without unity, there is no way for us to succeed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah 2, Al-Anfal, the same surah, he said, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضُ. The non-believers, they always construct a strong alliance amongst themselves. They are the awliya, protectors and helpers and supporters of each other. He says, إِلَّا تَفَعَلُوا تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ إِلَّا تَفَعَلُوا تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ كَبِيرٌ. If you are not to have the unity amongst you, fitna is going to exist. And subhanAllah, they give us a lot of examples, right? Nowadays you have a lot of United Nations, United Soviet Union, you know, United Kingdom, you know. They come together, you know, to establish something, because they know that alone they cannot do it. They have to come together so that they will be succeeding in their missions. And in any place where they fight Muslim and Islam, they unite. You know, they have differences among them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he says, لَأَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ رَحْبَةً فِي صُدُورِهِمْ min Allah. You know, they fear you more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, لا يقاتل لكم جميعا إلا في قرى محصنة أو من وراء جدر. They can never come and fight you face to face. إلا في قرى محصنة أو من وراء جدر. They have to be protected in a place first and then they fight. He says, بأسهم بينهم شديد. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the conflict and the hatred amongst them is big. And until today, if you follow the news, you know that these people are not together. But since they have one thing they call enemy, Islam, they always unite. They don't have conflict in this regard. They always unite to fight Islam and the Muslimin. Allah says, بَأْسُهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ شَدِيدٌ تَحْسَبُهُمْ جَمِيعًا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ شَتَّى. You always think that they're together, but Allah SWT says their heart is scattered. You know, they never come along. They're not together. Yeah, you can find two countries among those countries who are together. Yeah, they can come and cooperate to get their own interests. But as far as togetherness is concerned, no, they're not. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ إِلَّا تَفَعَلُوا تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ كَبِيرٌ. That's why, inshallah, you're going to see a very nice mention, which I will keep the balance of this, you know, part of commentary until the last, you know, because it's very good for us to know this. Yeah? So that's number one. وَالسَّمْعَ وَالطَّاعَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and also to listen and to obey. وَالسَّمْعَ وَالطَّاعَ. To listen and to obey. Listen to who? Ibrahim? No. Listen to who? To the leaders and the authority. People who are your leaders. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, listen and obey. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever obeys the leader is obeying me, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Whoever disobeys the leader, he is disobeying the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you disobey the Prophet, you are disobeying Rabbul Alameen. That's why it is wajib and haram to go against the leader, unless if he asks you to go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said you should stay away from that command and do that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. But even if there is a command for you to go against Allah, are you supposed to fight them? No. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't. Just stay away from it, but don't fight. Give them their right and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take your right from you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith of Irbad ibn Sariyah, he says, عليكم بالسمع والطاعة. He says, أوصيكم بتقوى الله والسمع والطاعة. He says, I command you, because when he gave them that maw'idha, it was very strong, you know, in their heart. They were shaking, they cry a lot. So they told him, Ya Rasulullah, we start to understand that you are telling us you are about to leave this life. If this is the case, Ya Rasulullah, can you tell us what to do to succeed in this life? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أُوصِيكُمْ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ. I command you to stand with taqwa, to always have taqwa. Yeah, because this is the only way to success. I command you to have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing he commanded them, because it is essential for our unity, to be united under one leader. He said what? وَالسَّمْعَ وَالطَّاعَ. And also listening and obeying. Subhanallah. They ask him, Ya Rasulullah, what to do to pass the test and to succeed, to be protected. He says, taqwa of Allah, wassam'a wa ta'a, and to listen and obey the leaders. Those people who happen to be in the authority in whatever community you are living in. Yeah, we didn't need to know this because we still have some people who think that they are living in a place, but the leader of that place is not their leader. Once I leave my country, you leave your country, you go to another country, you know, Muslim country, who's your leader in that country? That person. You cannot say, no, I receive instruction from that one. But it doesn't go like that. And also there are some who said, the leaders are not supposed to be obeyed because there is no khilafah. The one who is supposed to be obeyed is the khilafah. Who knows this among the predecessors? Nobody. nobody. The scholars said it is a consensus of the scholars, you know, amongst the Muslimin, that nowadays the system has changed. We don't have the Khilafah like in the past. So every country has its own leader. And the people who are living in that locality, they're supposed to be having their allegiance to that leader. That's it. Otherwise, it's going to be in a state of chaos. In one country you have, you know, everyone is just doing whatever he wants. If you ask him, why didn't you follow the authorities here? He will tell you, no, I'm following the authority there. So if a person wants to follow any other authority other than the place where he's living in, he should go to that place and live. Right? Yeah, so you're in the Muslim place, these are your leaders. And the scholar said, actually, even in the Kuffar place, you're not supposed to violate their rules. As long as they're not going against Islam, you know, because if a rule is going against Islam, you don't do it, you yourself, because you know that this is not what Allah SWT wants you to do. Even in the Muslim territories. When you go to the Kuffar country, you don't say, no, these are Kuffar, I don't care. You drive in the way you want. No, that's haram, that's wrong. As long as what they mention is okay, you know, and it's not going against Islam, you have to follow. Yeah, because usually these rules are there to support what? To support the life and to preserve life. You get it? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us in that hadith, he says, "Usikum bi taqwallah wa sam'i wa ta'ah." Wa in ta'ammar alaykum 'abdun habashi. He said, even if a slave from Habasha is supposed to lead you. In those places, in those times, they have a slave from that place. And you know, the Prophet ﷺ actually is not to belittle the people that are coming from that place, but it is simply because the Arabs have no respect to slaves. A slave doesn't have value. That's why a person kills, a person cuts some part of him. So the Prophet ﷺ is saying, even if a slave is leading you, your job as a subordinate is to listen. That was very tough for them, you know, to have a situation whereby the leader is a slave. No, that doesn't come to their brain. Even in a dream, I don't think somebody sees this. You know? Right? Because the slaves have no value in their cities. The only time when slaves have values is when Islam exists. So the Prophet ﷺ said, even if the one who is leading you is a slave, the Prophet ﷺ said, you should listen and you should obey that slave because he's your leader. You cannot say he is a slave. You get it? You cannot say he is a slave. You have to listen. So what does that mean actually? It means whoever happened to be your leader and he commands you to do something, you're supposed to listen. Okay? You're supposed to listen. And any leader, as long as khalas, now the authority is his, khalas. You don't like him, you like him, it doesn't matter. The point is, this is what he says he wants the people to do in the city. As long as what he is asking you to do does not go against Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded you to, through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for you to listen and obey. And wallahi, this is very necessary. Because if you don't do, chaos is going to take place in the society. And you are going to be harmed also. Yeah, not the rest, but you are also going to be harmed. There is no way for us to live without having leaders. Right? Last time I was giving an example of places where the leaders and the government is gone. What happened to the people in that place? You know, in some places they have to use weapons to protect their life and their family lives. In any place where the leaders and the government is gone, you should expect something like this. You should expect something like this. No police in the country, no security, no soldiers. You have naturally human beings are inclining towards oppressing others. You remember the share of a poet who says, "Al-Zulmu min shiyami al-rijali fa intajid dha'ifatin fa li'illatin la yadhulimu." He says, oppressing others is one of the behaviors of human beings. It's part of our nature to try to be on top of others. He says, if you find somebody who is not oppressing others, you should know that this is happening because of illah. There is a reason for that. Maybe he is weak. Maybe he accepted Islam. Islam tells him oppression is wrong, so he's afraid of Allah. There must be something. So if there is no authority, Imagine, how are we going to survive? You get what I'm saying, yeah? That's why the scholar said to have 1,000 years with a bad leader is better than one night without a leader. It's better than one night without a leader. This is what many of us nowadays don't understand. We don't care. These people, they have to know. We have to go and fight. We have to do this and that. And then the country is gone. Yeah. They put people into trouble. And you, Allah, they will be responsible in the eyes of Allah SWT on the Day of Judgment for everything they did. Whatever happened to that country, every single person who has hand in it has to explain to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. We shouldn't be too emotional. We understand the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam correctly. Yeah? We should understand the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam correctly. Don't you ever contribute to the destruction of the nation. Yeah? Thinking about right, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not leave us without telling us what to do. And very clearly he said, listen and obey. He says he's going to beat you sometimes and take your wealth. Ya Rasulullah, why can't we fight back? We have ability to reply back. You know, he said, no, don't. He said, don't. Just listen and obey. Ask Allah SWT to get you right from them. And this is what we got from the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They always ask people to be patient with those in authority who are oppressing everyone, such as Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, such as Yazid ibn Muawiyah, and so many others, you know, can name them, you know, a lot. But if you go to the companions, you see a companion telling the people in the community, sabar, sabar, patience, don't fight back. Sabar, be patient, don't fight back. Yeah. You get it? So, let's benefit from them, you know. That's why the unity of the Muslims was intact from the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because who is the leader? Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? So everyone is united under the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And after that, Abu Bakr came. Who is the leader? Abu Bakr. Everyone is behind Abu Bakr. We have an absolute unity. After that, Uthman came. Who is the leader? Uthman radiallahu anhu. After that, the Jew managed to influence some of the Muslims to come and fight Uthman radiallahu anhu. You know, during the time of Uthman, at the last part of his time, you know, everyone was okay. But when the Jew came under the leadership of Abdullah ibn Sabah from the Jew, they managed to put this evil, you know, hatred against Uthman, and they influenced people to come to Medina and they fight Uthman radiallahu anhu, and they kill Uthman radiallahu anhu. This is the beginning of the separation of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why Ali ibn Abi Talib suffered a lot in his leadership. You know, scholars said, which land was conquered during the time of Ali ibn Abi Talib? Almost none. Why was that? Because he was busy trying to bring Muslim together. You know, you have how many governments you have in the time of Ali ibn Abi Talib? Two. Three? What's number three? Maybe I forgot one. Khawarij. I know, before the Khawarij. Khawarij came afterwards, across the last part of his life. How many governments do we have? Two. One in Sham and one? Yeah. Question, Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, was he fighting for leadership? No, never. Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan never fought for leadership. But he was fighting for what? The right of Uthman radiallahu anhu. And they don't mind to give bay'ah to Ali ibn Abi Talib, but they said they want those assassins to get the consequence of what they did. And Ali ibn Abi Talib has his own approach. And he told them, I want the family of Uthman to come forward and look for it. His direct family. And also I want us to relax, because we are talking about 3,000 people, you know, 3,000 people who are, you know, coming to Medina to fight. If we're going to fight them back, what happens? We're going to also lose some of the Muslim. But if we relax and we do it calmly, we will be able to extract the mastermind and the real criminals and get rid of them one after the other. But Muawiyah and the rest, they don't agree with this. And subhanAllah, Abdullah ibn Sabah managed, you know, to keep pushing until the time they had those two worst battles amongst them, the battle of Siffin and the battle of Jamal. We're going to talk about these ones, inshallah. It's part of that which is mentioned as Sharat min Ashrat al-Sa'ah by Dr. Yusuf, inshallah. We will talk about this one in brief. And the manhaj and the approach of a Muslim. Muslim is supposed to take what stands concerning those battles. Is that clear? So then the Muslims are separated. Then we have the emergence of all of these sects and groups and, you know, Muslims are divided into so many pieces. Do you get the idea? So it is necessary to be united under one leadership. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you already appoint and assign a leader, yeah, its announcement is, this person is our leader. But the other people don't agree with that. What are we supposed to do? All of us in the community to accept the one that is announced and does it. The one that assumes responsibility as a leader, and then we just go with that and hope good. We might not be happy, but it's better to accept and agree rather than, you know, rejecting and fighting back, and then we will put the country into a state of chaos. Get it? And in the situation whereby you have a leader and then somebody comes afterwards and he says, he's the leader, not this one. We don't agree with that one. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the whole city is supposed to cooperate with the leader and fight that person who comes to break the unity of the community. Do you get it? Yeah. So I want you to understand all of these ahadith and many that I did not mention and related to the issue in some places. What really happens when we refuse to follow that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said? So what is the relationship between us and our leaders? To make dua for them, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide them, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fix their affairs, to help them do the right thing. That's it. It's useless for a person to curse or to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send something bad to them. Ew Allah, it doesn't make sense, because if Allah accepts and he does that, everyone is going to suffer also. Yeah. So what we are supposed to do is to give nasiha, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. قَالَ وَلِيَ أَمَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَعَمَّتِهِمْ Nasiha is supposed to be given to the أَمَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And nasiha is supposed to be in secret. Yeah, especially when it comes to the authority and the leaders, the nasiha has to be in secret, between you and them. You tell them what you believe, and also with wisdom. Don't go arrogantly. Yeah? Don't go arrogantly. You go with wisdom and try to explain to them. With every wisdom that you believe, inshallah, they will be able to understand. Because what do you want? You want them to understand that you're on top of them? No, you want the thing to be fixed. So do everything possible to let them understand that this is the way to make it. And also to obey. When they ask you, you do. If you're not going to do what they ask you and they command you to do, what is the point of having them as your leader then? Again, without obedience, how can they succeed in their mission? Nobody is obeying. How can they succeed? There is no way for them to succeed. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I advise you to listen and to obey. Well, hijrah, and also to migrate. What is hijrah? Migration for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the real meaning of the hijrah is to leave what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made prohibited. When I move from a place of kufr to a place of iman, as in one of you should give me the. When a person moves from the place of kufr, that he cannot practice his religion, to the place of iman, what is he doing? Hijrah. Yeah, he's migrating. You don't migrate from Muslim country to another Muslim country. You relocate. You don't want to stay in that place. You relocate, yeah, to another Muslim country. But the migration should be from a non-Muslim country to a Muslim country. How about when you are not able to practice your religion in the Muslim country itself because of the pressure? Can you remain in that place? No, you have to leave to another place. In this case, also migration is wajib. So hijrah is wajib. You must migrate if you cannot practice your religion. However, if you can practice your religion, then hijrah is not wajib. There is not even hijrah in your case. If you are in a Muslim country and you can practice your religion, you can relocate. You don't want to stay in the same place. You can go to another Muslim country, no problem. But don't call yourself a muhajir. Yeah, you're not muhajir. You know. So hijrah is wajib. If a person is not able to practice his religion and he's still living in that locality, what happens to him? When the angels of death comes to take his soul, yeah, they will ask him this question. What's wrong with you? What happened? Why didn't you do this and that? He will say, "Kunna mustadafina fil ard." We used to be made weak in this place. They don't let us do this and that. And subhanAllah, angels don't joke, you know. They will tell him straightforward, "Oh, alam takun ardullahi wasi'atan fatuhajiru fiha?" Isn't it a fact that the land of Allah, the earth is so vast and so big? In this place, you cannot do what you are supposed to be doing. Why can't you migrate to another place then? Why can't you migrate to another place? Very valid question, right? He says, "I cannot practice because people don't let me do what I'm supposed to be doing here." Then the angels would tell him, "Oh, is this the only place you should stay, you can stay?" Yeah. So we have to be very careful, because nowadays we go to places whereby we put our religion in danger, you know, our iman in danger, you know, and we don't migrate to the Muslim land, you know. We put ourselves in danger. Why? Because of the dunya. Yeah, he's not happy with what is being provided by the Muslim government, so he went to the non-Muslim government because he thinks injustice is there. And he goes to that place, his iman will be tested, his aqidah will be tested, his religion will be tested, and the tarbiyah of the kid will be taken away from him based on following the dunya. Yeah, these ones, they should be very careful, because if they remain like this, if the angel of death comes, they might be included among those ones. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَأَتْ مَصِيرًا. He says, these ones will be going to hell. And what an evil place is hell. Yeah, so we have to be very careful. Yeah, be patient. Live with the Muslim and be patient. Yeah, and be patient. I don't think you get what you are looking for in those places also. In terms of justice, there is no justice also in those places. Discrimination is always there. And also, even if they have justice, right? But this is not equal to your iman, you know? This is not equal to your iman. So if you have a person who is not being able to practice his religion in the non-Muslim countries, hijrah is wajib upon him. Yeah, those sisters who are living in the non-Muslim countries and they cannot wear hijab. Who to be blamed? Yeah. Them. And they come to the newspaper and talk, there is no freedom in this country and all of these things. But in the first place, why do you go? In the Muslim countries, you live a very normal life. You wear a hijab. Nobody is bothering you, you know. In their own place, you go to their place. What do you expect them to do? To impose their own system on you. Yeah, so hijrah is wajib upon those people. That's why a Muslim should understand the objective of life and the reality of this life, that we are not here to stay forever. We'll be taken back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for accountability. This will help you to be patient. So hijrah also is applicable on staying away from haram things to halal things. When you stay away from haram things to halal things, also is you're making hijrah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Al-muhajiru man hajara ma nahaa Allahu an." The real muhajir is somebody who stays away from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made prohibited. And in Islam, when you make hijrah, you're not supposed to go back to that thing. Yeah, when you stay away from something, khalas, then go back to it. The last one is wal jihad fi sabilillah, and the jihad fi sabilillah, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jihad is the defense, right? You know, it has its own system. Yeah. Don't you ever listen to anyone who distort the image of the jihad. It remains. No matter how much you try to delete it, it remains. In Islam, it remains. It's a system. I don't know a single country that doesn't have defense. None whatsoever. They have. They exaggerate it. They go on attack. How many countries have been oppressed by other countries? How many? A lot. A lot. And why did they have the army? To protect themselves from having attack from others who thinks they do have a right to colonize them. Right? Yeah, they stop coming to you because you have what they have. You know, without mentioning an example, there are countries which have the same weapons that their enemies have, so they don't attack them. They remain like that. They live peacefully. Not for the sake of Allah, not for the sake of humanity, no. Because they know if they are to shoot them with the same thing, they're also going to reply with the same in the same way. So who will die? Both of them will die. Yeah, and they love life more than the Muslims. So they will not think of going to attack. So what I'm trying to say is every country has defense system. This is what jihad is all about. In terms of the Prophet ﷺ, they have. We call it jihad. Khulafa al-Rashid, we call it jihad. Defending Islam and the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not like what you see, you know, those young people and the people who have little knowledge, if they have one, go and take weapons and go and attack people. Yeah, and go and attack people and kill everyone. So it's a system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed to defend the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? It follows what? The command of who? The authority, right? Yeah, it follows the command of the authority. No place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded everyone to go for jihad unless if the enemy come and attack the country. An enemy come and raided the country, Muslim country, then every Muslim who is living in that place has to defend the country, defend the religion and the country itself. But other than that, no. It follows the authority, the command of the authority. They say, go, then go. And nowadays we have what? Arrange and organize army in every Muslim country. Who are the one who are supposed to handle this? Them. Is that clear, inshallah? So we have to be very careful. We should keep it in the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept it. But we tell people that it has a system. Go to the books of fiqh, there is a system concerning that. There's a title, there is a chapter, you know, that talks about this. It's not in the way you see people talking about it. So al-jihad fi sabilillah, and it has to be fi sabilillah for it to be supported by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us these five things, and he says, فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ خَارَجَ مِنَ الْجَمَعَ قَيْدَ الشِّبْرٍ خَالَعَ فَقَدْ خَالَعَ رَبْقَةَ الْإِسْلَامِ مِنْ عُنُقِهِ إِلَّا أَنْ يُرَاجَ If a person goes out of the unity of the Muslim, separated himself, construct another thing, you know, separated himself from the Muslim, قَيْدَ الشِّبْرٍ is one span of hand. The Prophet ﷺ said he removes the cloth of Islam from his body, from his neck, أَوْذُ بِاللَّهِ. Yeah, means unity is very serious matter in Islam. And you, Allah, we live in this time, we can understand that, yes, you know, how does Islam succeed in the past? Because they're united. All Muslim territories are united. They're united like one body. One body. There is a story, they said this story is not authentic, but it's a very interesting story. The meaning is correct because the Prophet ﷺ said Muslims are like one body. They talk about the sister who was disrespected by one of the people in the non-Muslim countries in the past, you know. And she sent a letter to Khalifa al-Mu'tasim. She said, wa mu'tasima. And subhanAllah, he sent a reply, you know, this is one sister, right? Well, Muslims have value in those days, you know. She sent a letter to the government that this is our condition in this place. And what was the reply? Either you honor her and respect her and grant her right in that place, or else we were going to send an army to your country. The beginning of the army will reach your country and they're still coming out from her. Subhanallah, according to that story, they have no choice except to release her. Another version of the story, they said they fought. They go and defeat them and look for that sister. And then the Khalifa asked her to make dua for him. So, although the story, they said the chain of the story might not be authentic, but this is true and a fact in Islam that if one of us is suffering, every single part of the rest of the Muslim territory will also suffer. And subhanAllah, are we like this nowadays? No, we're not. You Allah, we're not. If you go to another country which is not yours, you don't get the same right. Almost every Muslim territory is like that. Not only that, that one you can say, political matter, you can close your eyes. This is the life in every place, wherever you go. Right are given to the people who are supposed to be the citizen, but not other people who visited the place. But come to the Muslim community, they themselves, you know, you belong to this tribe, and he belongs to another tribe. He sees you different from the tribe members. Not only that, he is Maliki. No, the man is Hanafi. He is Hanafi. And Faza is Shafi'i. They don't come along. Right? This one is not praying behind this. This one. We have the barrier. We are not even talking about aqidah barriers. Nowadays, fiqh barriers. Iwallah. Sometimes not even the madhab issue. No, there is something which he believes in, which I don't agree with that. But I rejected him because of this. Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. You know that there are some people, if you don't sit just at the istirah, they might not say salam to you. Even the salam. You might say salam, he would not reply. Yeah. We witness all of these things. This is not in the past. Yeah, it's not in the past. Differences of opinion never separated the nation in the time of the companions or the tabi'in or the tabi' tabi'in. Way after them, the enemies managed to tell us we are different. You get it? Yeah. It is impossible for you and the friends and the members in the community to have an agreement upon everything. You're going to have different things. There are things I might see something there, I have different understanding, you also have different understanding. So what to do? I go, I sit with you, I tell you, no, you don't see it correctly. If you don't want to understand, or you couldn't see what I see, then we continue our good relationship. I leave you with your understanding and I take mine. There are so many things which we all agree upon. To get idea, the fiqh matters, the vast majority of the fiqh matters, Maliki, Shafi'i, Hanafis, the vast majority of these matters, we're all together. You know? Hanafi and the Malikis, if you look at the fiqh, you know, the differences are not huge, you know. Differences are not huge. But why the hearts are different, you know? In the Kaaba, you know, not very long time, there used to be four members. Member for the Hanafi, member for the Shafi, member for the Malikis and the Hanbalis. Five khutbah is being made every Friday. They have different madahib. They have questions like, can a Shafi'i marry a Hanafi, Hanafi marry a Shafi or not, you know? Wallahi, we should say Alhamdulillah, we do not see this. Although we still have these type of mentalities, people who see each other through their madahib, but in the past it was really bad. It was really bad, you know? It was really bad. Yeah. They fight, physically fight, and also hate each other, you know? But Alhamdulillah, Allah SWT has taken it away from us. May Allah SWT not let it to come back again. But as I said, we still have these mentalities now. So the Prophet said, if a person separated himself from the jama'ah, he's like removing the clothes of Islam from his body, illa an yuraja, except if he comes back to the religion. وَمَنْ دَعَى بِدَعْوَى الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ فَهُوَ مِنْ جُثَى جَهَنَّمِ أَوْذُ بِاللَّهِ. You know, what is the da'wah of jahiliyyah? We are from this tribe, we are from these people, we are the best, and you guys are the lowest, you know, showing differences, and we are this and that, you know. We are the family of this people, and this and that. All of these things are not part of us. You know, are not part of us. Because this leads also sometimes to the commission of shirk. Because a person stays with his own people. Whatever they believe in, I'm with them. I'm with my people. They're right, I'm with them. They're wrong, I'm with them. In Islam, we don't have this. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يكون أحدكم إِمَّعَ. What is imma? Somebody who says, in ahsan al-nasu ahsant, in asa'u asa'at. I just recognize my people. If my country members are right, I'm right also. If they're wrong, I'm going to be wrong also with them. لَا يَسْأَلُونَ أَخَاهُمْ حِينَ يَنْدُبُهُمْ فِي النَّائِبَةِ عَلَى مَا قَالَ بُرْهَانَ. In the past, this is the life. You're part of us, you're right, always. The one who is your opponent is wrong, always. And we don't care. We will support you and get you out of that problem, whether you're right or you're wrong. Islam doesn't know this. Islam goes with justice. Yeah, Islam goes with the truth and justice. So the Prophet said, whoever is having this type of jahiliyyah mentality, the Prophet said, he is not one of us, and he will be ending up going to hell if he's not careful. And then the Prophet said, قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَإِنْ صَامَ وَصَلَّى. This person who is having this mentality of the jahiliyyah, even if he is praying and he is fasting, the Prophet said, yes. وَإِنْ صَامَ وَإِنْ صَلَّى. Even if he prays and he fasts. وَزَعْمَ أَنَّهُ مُسْلِمٌ. And he claims to be a Muslim. SubhanAllah. You can see this is very serious matter in Islam, that Muslims are united. Islam doesn't know race. Islam doesn't care about colors. Islam doesn't care about languages, countries. Islam doesn't care about any of them. Islam cares about your heart. Are you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? If you're with Allah, then the blood is equal. The Prophet said, Al-Muslimuna tatakafa'u dima'uhum. Abu Lahab, when they describe him, they say he was seen, very handsome. Where did he go? Jahannam. Yeah, his handsomeness doesn't. Julaybib, they said he doesn't look good. You remember the Jalabib, right? Yeah. Where did he go? Jannah. Bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla. You know, yeah, Allah doesn't care about this. Rasulullah said, Inna Allah la yanzuru ila suwarikum. Allah is not looking at your physical appearance. Allah is not looking at your body. Walakin yanzuru ila qulubikum wa a'malikum. Allah is focusing on your heart and your righteous deed. Is that clear, inshallah? And your righteous deed. So this is a very serious matter of unity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let us see the time when Muslim is recognizing his brother with Islam, not with the country or the race or the tribe or the place where he is coming from. This doesn't mean oppressing others. No, we just need to know ourselves. Yeah, we just need to know ourselves and support ourselves. They also do that. You know, we also have to do that. Yeah? So these barriers, Islam, remove them. I remember one of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ accused Bilal, and he called him the son of a black woman. The Prophet ﷺ looked at him, he was very mad at him. He said, إِنَّكَ مْرُؤٌ فِيكَ جَاهِلِيَّةٌ. He says, Abu Dharr, he says, you still have the balance of the jahiliyyah in your mentality. That was very painful to him. It was very painful to him. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in Hajjatul Wada, "La fadla li Arabiyyin ala ajami." Arab man, woman is not better in any way than the one who is non-Arab. You have some people who still think of this. I met a brother who told me, "Look, you know, anyone who is not from the Arabs, no matter how much excellent is his knowledge, you still have deficiency in his thinking." I love jokes a lot. So I found it a very nice joke of the day. So then I ask him this question. I say, oh, that's what you think? He say, yeah, that's correct. You don't find non-Arab having this proper thinking, you know. I said, okay, when I see the scholars, you know, I look into the community of the scholars, I see the vast majority of the scholars who carry this knowledge and the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spread it, and the reference on in this dunya of ours, the Arabs or non-Arabs. SubhanAllah, there is a story, you know, that one of the khulafa, he asked one of the scholars, he says, who is the reference, the biggest sheikh in Makkah? And that scholar told him, so-and-so-and-so person. So the Khalifa says, is he from the Arab? He said, no. He said, okay, in Medina, who is the reference? He said, so and so. Say, is he from the Arab? He said, no. In this country, he kept on mentioning. He said, at last I see the face of this Khalifa is turning into red. He said, I was scared of him getting me, you know. So when he asked me the next country, he said, who is the scholar, the biggest sheikh in this country? He said, I look for one of the Arabs. He said, I know he is not. There is somebody on top of him, but I am afraid of the batsh of this person. I told him this guy, and then he smiled after that. Do we need this? We don't need it at all. We don't need it at all. Islam is the religion for everyone. Allah SWT sees each and every one of us equally. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is no, an Arab man is not better than non-Arab. So that person was telling me this, so I told him, in the narrators of the hadith alone, if you look at them, who is among them an Arab man? Those six narrators. Who is from the Arabs? No, the sixth one. Ahmad is not one of them. Muslim, Bukhari, Abu Dawood, all of the six are from non-Arabs. Yet if you go to the Qurra, the seven Qurra, who is the Arabi among them? Only two. Imam Shatibi says, Abu Amrihim wal Yahsubi ibn Amirin Sarihun wa Baqihim ahata bihi al-wala. He says, only Abu Amr al-Dani and Ibn Amir, these are only Arabs. The rest are all non-Arabs. Do we need this? We don't need it. But there are still some people who have this mentality of showing differences. I am better because I am from this community. I am better because I am from this community. These are all useless statements. Iwallah. I found it so silly. Whoever you hear talking about this, wallahi, this is a very insignificant person and silly person. You shouldn't have a time to sit for debate with this person. Because Allah says, Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. An-nasu sawasiya. Yeah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, nobody who is better than the other person because of his color. He says, An-nasu min Adam wa Adam, kullukum min Adam wa Adam min turab. Everyone is from Adam alayhi salam and Adam is from the clay. So please do understand this. Yeah? I'm saying this and I emphasize on it because of the way the Prophet ﷺ is dealing with the matter. And this is one of the reasons why we are separated. Every single useless person that comes to fight Muslims, he will succeed because the Muslims are not united. Nowadays, we're facing the oppression, which even the non-Muslims also agree that this is oppression against our brothers in Palestine. Right? Come to our community. Are we united in this to be oppression? No. You see, some people will tell you this. This one is telling you. You have people who are happy with this, you know. When people are being killed, the sisters and the brothers have been killed in Afghanistan long ago. Wallahi, there are some people who are happy and laughing and happy with that. So that's why the Prophet ﷺ emphasized on the unity. Because Muslims are supposed to be one body. If one part of it is sick, the rest of the part will suffer also. قَالَ وَإِنْ صَامَ وَصَلَّ وَزَعْمَ أَنَّهُ مُسْلِمٌ. And then the Prophet ﷺ said this beautiful word. He said, فَدْعُوا الْمُسْلِمِينَ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ. He said, call Muslims with their names. Please listen to this. Huh? He said, call Muslims with their names. What is their names? He said, with their names, عَلَى مَا سَمَّاهُمُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. According to the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them. How did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala call us? What did he call us? Muslim. He said, Muslimin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala call us Mu'mineen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala call us Muhsineen. This is our name, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala call us Muslimin, Mu'mineen, Muhsineen. But nowadays, we don't agree with this. Do you know that there is somebody who told another person, I'm a Muslim, he said, this is not enough. A'udhu billah. Wallahi, this guy has to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah called us Muslimin. And this one is saying, no, it's not enough to call yourself Muslim. Then why should I call myself? And these names and titles, what do they do for the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? They separate or they unite? Separate. You Allah. That's what one of our scholars said. All of these titles, Ibn Uthaymeen, when he talks about this, he said, all of these titles, stay away from them. Just stick to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Quran. That's it. Yeah, nowadays we have, how many sects, how many groups we have? A lot. Every single now and then you have new group also is emerging. Yeah? كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ. Everyone is just happy with what he has. We hate ourselves. Yeah, correction remains, right? The truth is one, correction remains. I am wrong, you know, what is your responsibility towards me? To come and fix it. Yeah, to come and fix it. Not to show hatred, but I don't like Adam. Why? Because of his approach. Did I ever have time to go and sit with him and tell him that what you're doing is wrong? No, I never. But then I have time to sit with Abdurrahman and tell him, Adam is this, Adam is this, Adam is this and that. These are the Muslims nowadays. And this is wrong. The time of the Prophet ﷺ was not like that. The time of the companions was not like that. They advise. If one of them is wrong, they go and advise him in a nice way, because they don't want to see him continue to be wrong in his approach. They go and tell him what you're doing is wrong, and the correct way to make it is this and that. Wallahi, I wish Muslims are like this. Good will take place in the Muslim Ummah. Ya Allah. I wish Muslims are like this. We see each other in the sense of, you know, brothers, our sisters, that we have to go and advise them when they are wrong. Wallahi, I wish we are like that. But unfortunately not. I believe I'm the only one who is correct. Abdurrahman believes that he's the only correct one. Yusuf and all of us like that. And we set up a big barrier between us and others. We don't give da'wah to them. Yeah? We don't give da'wah to them. We became like the Jew in some of our nature, in some of their natures. Because Jews don't give da'wah to others, because they don't believe other people qualify to behave well, because they are not even human beings. Is that clear? My job is da'wah. And I have to give da'wah to everyone. And I have to try my best to make sure that people are guided and doing the right thing. And this da'wah, I must do it in the right way. I must do the da'wah in the right way. What is the right way? Knowledge and wisdom. Yeah, knowledge and wisdom and leniency. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَا كَانَ الرِّفْقُ فِي شَيْءٍ إِلَّا زَانَهُ وَمَا نُزِعَ مِن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا شَانَهُ. You put leniency in something, it will make it beautiful. You remove it from something, it will make it very ugly. Is that clear, inshallah? So please let us ponder upon this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is very excellent. Ya Allah, it needs, you know, every Muslim to memorize it and put it into action. We should love each other. You know, we should advise. We should make sure that everyone is doing the correct thing. We advise him and be patient also. Yeah, because now if I go to him, Abdurrahman, what you're doing is wrong. And then he doesn't take. What is the usual reaction from my side? There is no good in him. If Faza tell me he's going to advise Abdurrahman, I would say, oh, don't waste your time. He would never listen. How many times I advise him? Once. You get it? Nuh spent 950 years. Never get bored. I did only one, once. And I make Nuh, when he asked Allah to take care of them, he worried about that dua. He was looking at himself that he was impatient, you know. 950 years? And you give only da'wah once. And then you make that heavy conclusion that this person has no good in him. Don't waste your time. He will not listen. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. So this is the end of this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Kathir says, هَذَا حَدِيثٌ حَسَنٌ وَالشَّاهِدُ مِنْهُ فِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ قوله إن الله خلقكم ورزقكم فاعبدوه ولا تشركوا به شيئا. I'm pretty sure you forgot why we brought this hadith. Yeah, we were interpreting the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. So what is the evidence? What is the reason why Ibn Kathir brought this hadith? Is the saying of Yahya ibn Zakaria, وإن الله خلقكم ورزقكم. Allah created you and He provided for you. فَاعْبُدُوهُ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْءٍ. Therefore, you should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not associate, partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then after that, before moving to the next ayah, Ibn Kathir quoted some of the statement of the scholars concerning the evidence, you know, that proved the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that He is the only creator and the one that is supposed to be worshipped. So I'll pick up some of them inshallah in the next dars bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, and then we move to the next ayah. Wa in kuntum fi raybin mimma nazzalna ala abdina inshallah. Okay, barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. It's always on. And now you go off it.
Has this question been asked yet?
I understand. You enjoy my mic? Why don't you just buy yours?
there a mic for them?
I'm just kidding.
Mazen, is there a mic? Barakallahu feekum, Sheikh. The first question. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Is conducting rallies haram against some rules implemented by the leaders?
The scholars mention that we don't have this in Islam. In Islam, we have to advise the leaders. We have to go to them and advise them. Tell them what we believe to be the correct one, and we do it in the right way. Provoking the community against the leader is wrong. There is a way to get things done. And I'm pretty sure every leader, if you are to go to him and talk to him in a nice way, they listen. Even if they don't do it, but they respect that which you're doing.
The next question, Sheikh. We are not allowed to pray before sunrise and sunset. Does this ruling go for wajib prayers like Fajr and Maghrib as well?
No. It's only applicable on the sunnah prayers.
The next question, Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Assalamu alaikum.
Backbiting is considered not to be a sin in what situations?
Oh, backbiting is not sin. There are several situations mentioned by scholars where backbiting is okay. Yeah, when, like in the marriage, right? Yeah. Business, the court cases. Yeah. Adam asked Abdurrahman about, what is the wife we gave him last time? Hawa, about Hawa. Can Abdurrahman talk about Hawa mentioning everything she has? There are things which she will be mentioned which she will not be happy with that. But they affect the marriage. Can Abdurrahman mention those things to Adam? Yes. Yeah. The judge asked the person to raise the case, to talk about what is the issue. They can talk about the other person who they need to mention, even by mentioning things which they don't like. It's not backbiting. Like in the case of Waymir al-Ajlani, or Hilal ibn Umayya, one of them. When the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called them for Li'an, he was accusing who of committing zina with his wife, Shariq ibn Sahma. They mentioned Shariq ibn Sahma in the case. Pretty sure Shariq ibn Sahma would not be happy with that. Yeah? They mentioned him to be committing one of these biggest sins. The scholar said the reason why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not say anything because the right cannot be established unless if he mentioned who was committing zina with her. Hind, the wife of Abu Sufyan, she said, Ya Rasulullah, my husband is very stingy. Which husband will agree with this? The wife complaining to his parent, for instance, or complaining to somebody, even his friend, that he's very stingy. Which husband will? Nobody will be happy with this. But the Prophet ﷺ overlooked because her case will not be established unless if she mentioned what he was doing. And the Prophet ﷺ supported her and let her take from his wealth without his knowledge. And there we go. Any place where it is necessary for somebody to be mentioned, then it's okay for a person to mention that person. I want to do business. I don't know about this person, whether he's honest or not. Can you ask somebody to tell you about him? Yes. That person, can he say anything he knows about him which is related to business? Yes. He cannot go against and out of business. He has to restrict himself to that. Matter.
Yes. So, like when our friend asked advice about picking sections,
about
they want to choose sections for resisting, when they visited for
a session. Yeah, yeah. I forgot this place actually. Backbiting the lecturers. Yeah, I remember that.
So we can say to the limit of what affects the educational things, like the lecturer keeps.
Yeah, I never know that this is happening. But then the student told me, what about what the students are doing when it comes to choosing courses. And they told me that they usually backbite the lecturers. Is it true? Yeah, it usually happens. Yeah. That should be the biggest sin, right? Yeah, but is it okay for, let's say, Abdurrahman and Adam? Abdurrahman finished the course, right? Adam wants to register. He told Abdurrahman, Abdurrahman, what do you think about this course? Abdurrahman said, Wallahi, if you want to fail, choose this. To my knowledge, this is the worst lecture I ever see in my life. No knowledge, and he failed you intentionally. Is it backbiting? Okay, I put it in the worst way, right? Yeah, that's for sure is backbiting. But how about when he says, Wallahi, it's quite okay. However, you have to reduce your sleep. Because this lecturer, honestly speaking, is very strict. And this is a kind of a good lecturer. No, okay, he will not say good. But this is a kind of a lecturer that if he comes to the class, nobody will come after him. There are some lecturers, I love them so much. When they come to the class, then nobody will enter. I wish I can do that. You know? Yeah. But so Abdurrahman is telling Adam, he says, Adam, this lecturer, if somebody comes to the come after him, he would never let him inside. And also, he's very strict in the exams. And his questions are very tough. However, knowledge-wise, you will benefit. But I'm just warning you to understand what you are aiming for. Is it correct? Is that okay? Yes, it's okay. This one is fine. Yeah. This one is fine. Other than that, then it will be counted backbiting. When you mention something which are not related to benefiting him. You get it? And also mention something that is considered as accusing or criticizing that lecturer, then that will be backbiting. You get it? Let's say you are tested by a lecturer who doesn't know what he does. Yeah, there are sometimes some people who accept to teach, but unfortunately, they're not qualified to teach. Yeah? If there is no slides, cannot teach at all. When electricity goes on, then no power present. Yeah, then khalas. We have to postpone the class until the next time. Yeah. So you are with this person and you realize that the whole semester is a waste of time. You wasted your time, honestly speaking. You don't benefit anything. Adam came and told the Abdurrahman, I want to register this. Can Abdurrahman tell him? I advise you to choose another place. I personally did not benefit from this class. And I'm afraid you also will not benefit. Don't say the lecturer is not qualified, the lecturer is this and that. No, you don't need this. But you can tell him, I advise you not to join this class. If you're looking for, more benefit, choose another person. You get it? This one is okay. Other than that, it will be going against the right of a lecturer, and this is one of the worst things to be done. Seriously, one of the worst things to be done, because the one who is teaching you has a big right upon you of respect, whoever this person might be. Yeah, and treating them in the wrong way might put into trouble with Rabbul Alameen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا وَلَمْ يُوَقِّرْ كَبِيرَنَا وَلَا يَعْرِفُ لِعَالِمِنَا حَقُّ. The one who doesn't respect our scholars is not one of us. Allahumma stan, we are in the era of laziness, right? That we need this. Yeah. We're in the era of laziness that we need this. Yeah. And subhanAllah, most of these scholars who are tough, trust me, most of these scholars who are tough, usually they're very strong in knowledge. Yarhamukallah. They're very strong in knowledge. You know. Most of these scholars who are tough, they're very strong in knowledge. And this is my experience in the Islamic University of Medina. All of these people that I know, they are very tough. But you see their knowledge, everyone prays their knowledge. But they're very, very very tough also. They don't joke in their classes. Anyway. Yusuf, did I answer your question? Yes, inshallah. Next.
The next question, Sheikh, is from Sister Mooney. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, ya Sheikh. Ahsanallahu ilaykum fi dunya wa akhirah. Please share some recommendations of dua that we should be making for our leaders.
Just say, Ya Allah, guide him. Yeah, that's the best thing. Ya Allah, ask Allah to guide him in your own language. Good question. Yeah. Ask Allah to guide him. We're told that one of the scholars, he said, if I know that Allah SWT give me one chance to ask one thing, which I know 100% it will be accepted, he said, that dua will be done for my leader. I will ask Allah SWT to guide him. Because if the leader is okay, who benefits from this? Everyone in society. Wallahi, if the leader is fine, the society is going to enjoy life, good life. So what should be my responsibility is to ask Allah SWT to aid him, to guide him, to help him, to support him, and to help him to do the right thing, which bring benefit, you know, to the community.
Next question from Sister Shahira. Assalamu alaikum, Ustaz.
Salam.
When we listen to the story of Mu'tasim, we become so inspired. How should we implement the story at our time?
No need to implement to that nature because you are not the authority, but we implement it through helping ourselves, loving each other, uniting ourselves. Don't see the other sister as different from you just because she's from another country, race, color, language, tribe, you know, people. No. Muslim is Muslim. You just see them like one part of you. Yeah? The same goes to the brothers. Anyone who happens to be Muslim, you see him is like one part of your body. You're willing to stand for him and to help him, you know, to get him out of his problems. You know. Not to commit injustice against others, because in Islam we help a Muslim in all circumstances. But if he's oppressing others, how do we help him? To stop him from oppression, right? To stop him from oppression. So how to... La hawla wa quwwata illa billah. Tell them to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and keep quiet, please. You get it? So we apply it in the sense of loving each other, uniting ourselves, you know, giving da'wah, advising each other. This is what we should be doing. We're going to have differences. Whether you like it or you don't like it, we must have differences. You cannot close the differences. Is there any country that you go, the differences are closed? None. And you will never have that. Allah says, وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ. They will always have these differences because we have different understanding, different knowledge, different approaches, different mentality, a different way of thinking. So my job and their job and your job and job of everyone is to cooperate and advise each other. I see him doing something wrong, I tell him, Abdurrahman, this is wrong. He see me doing something wrong, he tell me this is wrong. Yeah? He try to complete me, I try to complete him. This is how we do things. He doesn't understand what I'm saying, I give him excuse, and tomorrow also I try my best. Maybe my explanation is not good enough. I can talk to somebody to come and convince him. Right? And there we go. We try to let him understand what is correct and do it. Yeah. Finish? Yes. We still have more?
Yeah. Question by Brother Hanan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. أحسن الله إليك في الدنيا والآخرة.
اللهم آمين وإليك.
The masjid near my house, before and after the jama'ah, does several bid'ah activities, and this is the only masjid in my locality. Whenever I have a vehicle, I try to catch the jama'ah in a different place. If I don't have a vehicle, should I just pray in my home, as I have heard that we shouldn't pray behind a mubtadi?
No. Nobody says you shouldn't pray behind the mubtadi. As long as his prayer is accepted, you also is accepted. The scholar said, if the prayer is accepted, a prayer of a person is accepted, the prayer of the one who prays behind him is also accepted. مَنْ صَحَّتْ صَلَاتُهُ لِنَفْسِهِ صَحَّتْ صَلَاتُهُ لِغَيْرِهِ. As long as the prayer is correct, you get it? The prayer is correct, you can pray behind him and your prayer also is accepted. However, if you go to a place where you can enjoy, you know, seeing the sunnah being practiced, that's always better. But in his case, he said there is no masjid except this one. What does he do? Separate himself from the community? No. He goes and pray. That's it, inshallah. As long as their prayer is okay, then he has to go. But if, let's say, they pray in the wrong way, they don't do ruku, they don't do sujood, la karama, he has to pray at home. Don't come to them. You get it? Don't come to them. Next.
Can someone explain to the authority certain matters and have it recorded for certain truth reasons?
Is it this? No, he shouldn't. He shouldn't go to the authorities and suggest things and record that. Shouldn't. Go. That's why, alhamdulillah, these other places, they will never even go, let you go with your phone usually. Yeah. That's better. It's wrong for him to record. What is he going to do with it? Share with people, tell them that I was with the king, I was with the president, I was with the prime minister, I was with the minister, and then talk to him so that people will say, oh, mashallah, he's so important, right? And tomorrow, when they don't do, the people will say, yeah, this leader is arrogant because so-and-so person advised him and he doesn't listen. That's why when you go to a leader and advise him, that should be a very close discussion. And you cannot go and tell other people that I was advising him with this and that. That should be between you and him. Companions of the Prophet ﷺ don't do that. They advise in secret. And they don't tell people that we are advising. Osama ibn Zayd, when they told him, why can't you advise Uthman bin Affan? He said, what do you mean? Are you trying to tell me that whenever I advise him, I have to come and tell you that I was advising him? Yeah. That's the correct manhaj. Yeah. Leaders should be respected, you know. I also, if you come and advise me, record the advice, I would never be. Who will be happy with this? You advise me and you come with your MP3 and you're recording the advice? Who will be happy with this? Yeah. So we don't.
Question from Sister Shafa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ya Sheikh. On the Day of Judgment, will the case for prayer be settled where sunnah and nafil will be used to cover up for one's deficiency in fard with prayer only? Or can our other nafil acts of worship settle our deficiencies in fard as well?
Definitely. This is how it is. This is what we learn from the sunnah. You fast Ramadan, you have deficiency, Monday and Thursday and the three white days. All of these sunnah fasts that you're doing, Allah will use them to fix your deficiency in the wajibat. The same goes to zakah. You have the charity you're giving, the same goes to Hajj. You know, you do the Sunnah Hajj, you know, like that.
So, Sheikh, for example, if a person has deficiency in prayer, only Nafl prayers
will
can
fix. Yeah, Nafl prayers go with the prayer. So not Nafl Sadaqat.
Okay.
Sadaqah with Sadaqah, prayer with prayer. According to your question, your statement earlier, the question's finished, right? Alhamdulillah, one discount. Okay, if there is no any other question from here, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good and tawfiq and be with you wherever you are. Innahu bikulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.